This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only news, Rich Lord, relative to franchise tags so far in the NFL, and we'll circle back to Clowney here in about 30 seconds, was Adam Schefter tweeting earlier today, the Steelers announcing they will not use a tag on Le'Veon Bell. So the only announcement relative to a franchise tag, other than rumor and innuendo out there for some players, is that Le'Veon Bell will not be tagged, which means, congratulations, Le'Veon Bell. For the first time in your career, you are a free agent.
Right, and when we were talking about him, he was, I believe, on that short list of exclusive free agents tags last year. I believe his was the exclusive franchise tag last year. But, yeah, I can't wait to see what the market's going to bear for Le'Veon Bell. We're waiting on this Antonio Brown thing. It may come sooner. It may come later. It's kind of how it is with Clowney as well in this whole tag thing. You asked me yesterday if I thought it would happen early or late in the tagging period. And I said, I think it's going to happen late because they're going to sit down at the combine next week and a conversation will begin. And I think there'll at least be a conversation entertained before a decision like this is made.
Yeah, the later it happens in this two-week window, I think, the more probably cordial or at least close the two sides may have gotten towards an understanding, I would guess. I'll use a word Cecil Shorts used last week. The degree of pissativity between the two sides, Rich, to me is directly proportional to the amount of time, or inversely proportional to the amount of time it takes for the tag to land. In other words, the longer this goes with Clowney, I think probably the more the two sides are talking and maybe arriving near a place where something could happen down the road. We'll see. If it happens imminently, that tells me that the pissativity on one side or another is probably, or both, is very high.
Yeah.
And if it's a tag at the outside linebacker spot, it means the pissativity on both sides is very, very high. Yeah.
Getting tagged immediately.
Means there's heat, Rich. Heat.
That's one end of this whole spectrum we're talking about. Getting tagged immediately as an outside linebacker is, I think, the worst-case scenario, not just for J.D. Clowney, but for Texans fans hoping for a quick resolution to this matter.
Right, hoping for the two sides to somehow become cordial along the way. So I got to thinking about this last night, this whole Clowney thing, and in general about team building with the Texans and roster building.
Mm-hmm.
And it all circles back again for me, Rich, to something that Bill O'Brien said after the season was over in that press conference that he did the day after the loss to the Colts, sort of the exit press conference for the head coach. And it all circles back to one thing he said, which to me kind of paints this Clowney scenario as at the very least an outlier for how the Texans wish to do business. And at the very most, maybe something that's kind of bizarre here at this point. But here is Bill O'Brien talking about the team's desire, strong desire, to build through the draft.
I don't think you want to build it through free agency. It's my personal belief. You want to build it through the draft so you can mold the guys. You know, you can mold them into how you don't want to bring in a bunch of free agents, you know. So these are decisions that we have to make, and these are decisions that we're going to be talking about daily.
So again, I'm just going to go on surface level things here. I'm not going to talk about so-and-so said worker be this or so-and-so talked about work ethic that, Rich. I'm just going to talk about things that evidence that you can look up about Jadeveon Clowney on his ProFootballReference.com page real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Because on the surface, Clowney lines up perfectly with what Bill O'Brien just outlined right there.
Yeah.
He was the first overall pick in his draft. You can't get a draft commodity that's any higher than that in terms of what you've invested in him. He's been durable over the last three seasons. He's played in 45 of 48 games. He's been among the most durable Texans, and other than Hopkins, their most durable star player in that time, and it's not even close. He performs at a high level, but a level at which there is still room to improve. So if you feel like you're overpaying him, it's not like you're overpaying for somebody who has a ceiling. You're overpaying hoping that he can fill the rest of that gap. He's not a problem off the field.
No.
And he is a big, affable, marketable personality. Yeah. He checks all the boxes for what O'Brien just said on the surface. Yeah. So the question becomes, what's going on underneath the surface?
What O'Brien just said, I think, on the surface, strongly suggests that given the the profile of the player they hope to develop on the, in this franchise, yeah, he fits it perfectly. They've put so much time. They've been very patient. They've done a lot of work developing. I mean, they have invested heavily in all ways you can possibly invest in Jadeveon Clowney, including he's made about $40 million over his first 4 years in the league, or 5 years in the league. So, you know, he absolutely fits the bill as the guy they would want to keep around. However, the big question to me is, if he does fit the bill and check all those boxes, as you said, and I agree with that, to what extent are they confident moving forward that the development, the success will continue, and maybe even, you know, there'll be some improvement on what he's done so far in the league? Because we've talked about the issues, and I firmly believe there's only one legit issue here. And I hate to be the guy that goes back to, you know, media sources. But again, I don't think Peter King or Ian Rappaport is talking about work ethic unless at some level in this organization it's a legitimate concern. He's put behind the injury concerns. He, you know, money-wise, I don't know what to think in terms of what exactly he wants. But I think the biggest thing is whether or not they're confident moving forward that the development they're looking for will continue.
Yeah, the love of football, I think, is something I outlined yesterday. If you line up O'Brien's criteria for what they look for profile-wise, culturally with players, I'm saying, not physically.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Brian Gaines says all the time on Texans radio, bigger, stronger, you know, height, weight, speed, I think, are the three things he uses all the time. So we know, and Clowney obviously is the embodiment of those three things. But if you're lining up what O'Brien looks for as sort of a behind-the-scenes qualities in players and what we're hearing, if we feel like those two things are lining up, then I think there may be a question of you know, the whole worker bee thing, the love of football thing. It can only be one of three things, Rich. You tell me. I think it can only be if he checks all the boxes in terms of just the performance and the physical traits and the off-the-field stuff in terms of staying out of trouble off the field. I'm not talking about, yeah, is he in the weight room 8 hours a day like some guys, he's only there 4 hours. But if he checks all the boxes I just outlined after that O'Brien cut that we just played, then it can only be three things. And you tell me if I'm missing one here. It can only be medical concerns.
For sure.
Work ethic slash love of football concerns.
Which pretty much mesh as one concern, really.
Which I'm doing. Or he just wants too much money, which is actually John McClain's contention.
Well, that's my contention, too. I think one and two are very, very hard to defend, especially the medical concerns. And even though we don't know everything that's going on in film sessions and meetings and behind closed doors and one-on-one with position coaches, I just choose to believe that the really pretty significant success he's experienced and durability he's shown over the last couple of years don't make me overly concerned about either one or two. To me, if it is one of those things, it's a financial, it's an inability to agree on money. That would be the number one thing that for me.
Yeah, and look, it can be a combination of two things, right? It can be that we think you're asking for too much money for somebody whose work habits are X. And I don't know if they're being that blunt about it or if they're trying to, you know, couch it in a way where you don't alienate the player. It doesn't turn into something overly emotional. So it can be a combination of these things, but I don't know that there's another reason in the bucket I don't know if there's another reason out there, Rich, you can toss in the bucket. It is either one or a combination of those three things.
I think you're right.
And I think what's interesting, I was kind of looking up, I heard the guys on the night show last night, Adam and Adam, I heard Wexler bring this up, and I said, I got to go look up what he's saying. And Wexler was saying, man, you look at Khalil Mack this year, and I know Khalil Mack got a lot of love, first team all pro, and he came out of the gates fast for the Bears, but for a lot of the second half of the season, he spent injured and not performing at nearly the same level as Clowney.
Yeah.
The numbers on Clowney and Mack this past season are very, very similar. Mack had more sacks. He had, I think, two or three more sacks. Clowney had more tackles for loss. He had more QB hits. So, you do the hokey pokey, turn yourself around. And the two had very similar seasons. Now, I get it. Mack's body of work prior to that, largely because he's been healthy his whole career, Clowney has not, has been a better body of work. But it got me thinking, I wonder, as the two sides are trying to make their case here, because that's what it is. It's like a court of law. And yeah, Bus Cook is like the lawyer for Clowney. And Brian Gain, and maybe to some degree Bill O'Brien, are the lawyer for the Houston Texans. I wonder what the argument is on either side. I wonder how much the Texans side are pointing at statistics saying, well, we need more impactful play from you in terms of the pass rush. And I wonder how much Clowney side is saying, You guys are film buffs. Yeah, look at the film. Use your eyes.
I think Bus Cook has been around long enough to know how to attack this one, and you pretty much just outlined it there. The stats don't tell the full story with J.D. Clowney. The fact that he's developed into an elite run defender, along with being one of the most adept disruptors in the NFL today. I've talked about the optics and how the fact that he's never had that double-digit sack season might work against him when this day came and now we're here. But to be honest with you, the sack total, the TFL, the QB hits, and how high he's ranked among his peers in those categories over the last couple of years, along with his accomplishments as a run defender, provide you an argument that, yeah, the sexy stats may not scream that this guy's an elite player, but you got to look below the surface, and it doesn't take a whole lot of looking below the surface to discover that he deserves, and I'm talking about Bus Cook's argument here, to conclude that he deserves to be paid along with some of the best in the business.
Yeah, it's just, it would be, we'll never know what the argument is on either side. It would just be,
I think that's it.
It would be incredibly disappointing to find out that the Texans are arguing that you've topped out at 9.5 sacks. I'm like, man, you're one step away from being a caller to our radio show.
And if you're Bus Cook, you cite examples, and I don't readily have one at my fingertips. I thought about this a little bit earlier today. He certainly wasn't anywhere near the same level of player as Clowney is in his sport. But there have been athletes for years whose contributions are not accurately reflected in their statistics. Players who help you win championships who don't necessarily stand out as quote unquote your most productive players. I'll give you one that I thought of, Shane Battier. With the Rockets, who wound up winning.
I mean, Clowney's a little
bit. Wound up being on a championship
I guess.
Team.
Whitney's more of a Battier guy.
As I said, I'm not saying he's on the same level as Clowney as a player, but just strictly from the standpoint of the statistics don't necessarily accurately portray his contributions to team success.
I guess that's the only comparison. I guess I would even narrow it down more with Clowney to just say the sack totals, because his other statistics are among tops in the league in terms of pressures and hurries and QB hits and tackles for loss.
Yeah, it's mostly about the sacks.
It's about the sack, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I would be real disappointed if the Texans, if knowledgeable football people were going, man, if you just had two more sacks, we would feel so much better about you as a player.
Right.
That would be disturbing.
I don't want anyone to think I'm suggesting Bus Cook should bring up Shane Battier.
That's what I heard, Rich.
No, I'm just saying that there are certainly plenty of examples out there of players who, contributed more than their compensation might suggest.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.